I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove from the Wood Stove House in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Douglas September is a songwriter and multi-instrumentalist from Toronto, Ontario. Along with writing and recording his own albums, Douglas has produced albums for other artists and written for film. In April 2011, Douglas visited Lancaster for the Launch Music Conference. He stopped by the Candy Factory to chat about his latest record, Sundays in Radio. Well, joining me at the Candy Factory in downtown Lancaster, Pennsylvania, is Douglas September, here for the Launch Music Conference, all the way from Toronto, Ontario. Welcome to Lancaster.
Thank you.
It's great to have you here. This is a big weekend for us in Lancaster with hundreds of bands, and I feel lucky that I have a chance to talk to you about your music. I've been listening to Sundays in Radio, this latest album, for a while now, and I really want to get into how you made that record. It's a very innovative and experimental and very non-conventional. But before that, I know that you're involved with some other things musically. Music production and also music for films. I saw some of the clips that you scored on your website. Can you talk a little bit about making music for film, your experiences, and maybe if you have some other things coming up?
Sure. Thanks for having me, for sure. I'm glad you checked out the clips. My music has always been something that people have told me that is represented something they've had visual references in the, you know, while listening to my music. And as I was saying, or we talked earlier, mm-hmm. about, it was kind of something that just kind of fell into my lap, in the sense that I'd never thought about making music for any kind of film or any kind of movies or anything like that. It's something that actually, when I was asked to do it, I actually thought, this is actually really something that I really actually like doing. It's actually working, and my music does work with it.
I could totally see that.
Yeah. And the more I do it, the more ideas I've gotten through doing it. Now, I started kind of on a weird flip side, because I'd been asked to do an opening credit, or a closing credit rather, and a kind of a feature song in a climactic part of a feature film, mm-hmm. Back in 2000, a movie called The Runner. And so I did the recordings and demoed it and so forth, and went to LA, and we did the recording and so forth, and then went on to the movie. So it was kind of, and then from there, I said to myself, it'd be great to keep doing stuff like this, although that wasn't scoring, it was more designed, it was more of a song.
Right.
You know, it was a song. Then I started to work on new music, an album that we made in 2000, it came out in 2001, called Old Town Bow, and it was a lot more, the music changed a lot for me, previously to the music I was making, and out of that came people asking me to do short film work that I'd done in Canada, which kind of spawned other people hearing it. And it seems to be kind of other filmmakers have kind of grabbed on to my music and wanted me to do some scoring. I've got some stuff coming up in Canada, hopefully for late summer or mm-hmm. early fall. A Canadian filmmaker in Canada named Maury Loeffler. So he's getting that together now. So I'm hopefully going to start producing the music in the next few months. A gentleman, a filmmaker in Germany, in Cologne, he's currently filming his film. It's a short film based on, God, what was it based on? It's
Wasteland.
The Wasteland. It's kind of like based on The Wasteland, and I don't know, current day, The Wasteland. And so he contacted us, and he digs the music, or he's totally into it. And he asked if he could use some tracks, and I'm totally
into
it, for sure. It's not something I'm making new, but
he's taking
all
the
stuff
old,
and redoing it, for sure.
on the Sundays record, there's an element that ties the record together very consistently, and that is this use of like ambient textures that you really hear throughout the album. Mm-hmm. Talk to me about the creative process, your process. I'm assuming that you're writing these songs. Maybe it's just an assumption that's not correct, but that you're writing these songs with a guitar or piano, and then you're bringing them into the studio. When do you develop the sound with these songs that ends up being on a record like this? Is it before or is it during the recording process?
I think it's less before and during more during and after. I usually just kind of start with a root. Most of the songs in that album are kind of just, there's a few that are actually just one takes, just completely.
Wow.
I hit the record button. Never Been in New York, which is a track off it. It was just, there was no overdub. It's one microphone in the studio and an acoustic guitar. From that came the textures, came any kind of other aspects of it. I guess that's not a good example for, you know, other more production, you know.
Yeah, no.
Other songs have more elements of, you know, cutting, more editing. But the song starts, and then I evolve or I kind of morph into more of a, an editing kind of thing, you know, and I just sit, and that's kind of what I love to do, and it's kind of starts with that basic element. It could be guitar, it could be the pedal steel, it could be anything, a banjo, and then I just let it kind of you know go from there.
I love how you take these instruments like that and just pretty much just dip them in reverb, you know, and so everything, so it can be this banjo, be this folk instrument, but it seems to blend in with everything. You know, those instruments really, really tie together because of these textures.
It's kind of, I think by people are calling it now, it's kind of like, you know, what they call electroacoustic kind of, I think that's what people have been calling stuff like this now, but it's the combination of that organic element and the electronic
the tools,
and also the actual components of its sound that I find really interesting in the editing process with the organic sounds that really captivates my music. I love to see it going, you know, and so then you're using those to make a song instead of your more, you know, I don't know, conventional approaches to, you know, crafting a song. You know, you could be taking blocks and putting them together, you know, mm-hmm. these days, and then you got a song. So that's kind of how I start and end, but it's always different. Like, it's always different from album to album, and it's always different from song to song.
Let's get into some of the songs on Sundays in Radio. I've got a couple that I want to talk about specifically. I've Got Nothing for You was the first one I think that really jumped out at me. It was, and I think it's a good example of one of these songs that could be a very acoustic, very singer-songwriter,
right,
sitting in the corner kind of playing.
And it started like that.
Okay. The recording has this great washed-out pedal steel and the organ, and I really think that that song represents kind of what I was getting at before. Can you talk a little bit about that song in particular, the story behind it?
Well, it's kind of actually, the process of that song actually is kind of what we were just talking about before. It started as a lot of these songs in the album, just to digress a bit, were kind of just, there was no concept of putting them in there. They just kind of, I made the songs and eventually they made it to an album kind of thing. This song, just the same thing. It was, you know, acoustic guitar. The song came out, a bit of acoustic elements to it, just the vocal and the acoustic, you know, the finger picking, what have you. And then it's kind of actually, I've always found the song off the album, it's kind of outside a lot of the other songs in the album, where it's kind of got this country kind of thing to it. And but it worked really well. And it's the same thing, you know. I thought, what does this song need? What, you know, and the first thing I thought was the pedal steel. And then, you know, the bass, and it was your typical structurally based, you know, song.
You can't get blood from a stone, my dear. French for nail is a clue. You can't get drunk here tonight, it's clear. And I got nothing for you. You can gather your lumps, my dear, and you can swallow them too. And you can pound on this grief that's here. It's got nothing.
Never been to New York. I'm assuming that's not true for you.
No, for me. No, for many people.
I really love this song. It's a kind of a floating nature, and it feels even more ambient than some of the other tracks to me. Especially the slide guitar. Can you talk about? Can you talk a just a little bit about the recording and also the story? Sure. Who is she in this track?
Funny, because people ask me all the time. Nicole's asked me a few times as well. Nicole's with me. And Nicole's never been to New York. But neither is my daughter. But it was, I couldn't tell you. It was just, it's just a song. And it just, it came, you know, and that's, there's no real story behind it.
Sure.
But the actual process of recording it, that was a one, you know, that was, the song came up, it happened. I think it was almost instantaneously. That was the one take, that song. I recorded it. And then the slide guitar was later. It was done. The slide guitar is actually recorded by Robbie Aceto, who plays on the album and my other albums as well. And he does the slide that you're referring mm-hmm. to. Beautiful. He's a beautiful, beautiful guitar player who lives in Ithaca. And he's got his own work himself, and he does a lot of film work. He's got his own albums. But we've played together, and we've worked. We're kind of comrades. But a song without Robbie on it is for me, without one of my songs, I should say, it's not complete. And he originally got that track and said, I can't do anything with it. I love the song, and I don't want to touch it. Like it's the way it should be. And I wasn't hearing it like that again at all. I was hearing it. I said it needs your guitar. And when it was always exciting, you'd be getting, you know, he'd be give him a few days with the track, and a few days later he'd send back, you know, he'd upload a track to the FTP site, and he'd be running to the studio wanting to hear what he'd done. And when I heard that, mm-hmm. that it was just. He's a beautiful textualist, beautiful musician, artist, and very sensitive to that space. Because a lot of my music has vast amounts of space. Sometimes it's just one note. And we've been in situations where we're working together, and if it's that just that one chord over and over through 5 minutes, it works for me. It usually works for him as well. And he took that song and he just took it to a whole other, mm-hmm. You know, he just made it another thing. So that's kind of the story behind the slide, the guitar on it. And there's a few elements in the production side with me. You know, I did some other things regards to processing and so forth.
Starlight sparrow of the night, you golden arches of delight. 10,000 miles she's watched you to catch you. Open any, oh, where is serpent?
Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove. My guest today is Toronto, Ontario's Douglas September. You have a couple of cameo vocalists on the record. One is on the song Sundays in Savannah, vocals by Rita McNeil. Talk about Rita. I don't know anything about her and you know how you got to working with her. Can you tell me that story?
Are you familiar with Rita?
No, no.
Rita McNeil is a Canadian songstress, wonderful, beautiful woman, very popular in Canada, kind of a national icon.
I kind of gathered that from just poking around.
Yeah, she's had her own show on the national public television and many albums to her credit. A lot of touring, and it was incremental to my development. Very supportive to me as I was developing as an artist earlier on in my career. She was just mainly a big fan of my music.
That's great.
At the time, I was cruising around, Toronto, kicking around coffee shops anywhere I could play, kind of thing. She's based out of the east coast of Canada, in Nova Scotia. Cape Breton in particular. And I was kind of, ready to, I guess, go to the next phase of, just doing more music and touring and so forth. And she was a big support creatively and also, but just as an element of getting me places. And so we've always had this wonderful artistic kind of connection as well, where her voice is just out of this world.
It's a beautiful track.
Yeah, and I've always she's sung a few of my songs, and I've always sung together. I was lucky enough to actually to go along on one of her tours, and she asked me to do some songs, and I did. Not an opening slot, but during the performance of a couple of tracks, and we got the opportunity to sing together on some of those shows, one of my songs. And it kind of went, after the shows, we go, we should record something. And when I was doing this, I'm a huge Nina Simone fan, of course, as a lot of people are. And I've always loved that track, the Nina Simone. It's a Nina Simone track, and it's actually written by, it's kind of known by from her, but it was written by Hugh McKay, I believe. If I'm wrong, then I'm sorry, but I'm pretty sure that's the writer. She does a beautiful version, so I wanted to do a version of it, my own kind of take on it.
Okay.
Nothing about the pedal steel, and then there's a bridge, the bridge part where it's like. The dynamics change a bit. It was difficult for me to sing. I couldn't kind of pull it off, and there was something missing. I said, if I'm going to do this, I got to have someone. And I thought right away, I said, Rita, this is,
well, yeah, plus you have this great relationship, so you can reach out to
her. So I asked her, and she was totally into it. And we have a place in Cape Breton, and we summer there, and we just set up in her kitchen, and she was making a ham, and there was a ham being baked in the oven, and we had a microphone, and Rita sat down, and she sang it, and it was beautiful, beautiful job. And so there's a little bit of story behind the bridge as well, but it's one of those things that people aren't expecting it when you hear the track. Like, it's just me singing the first few verses,
yeah, sure.
And then all of a sudden, she's just, it's a stunning performance by her. So she, it was really important. And hopefully we could do something together. Maybe we're singing together or something at some point.
obligations every man. Young folk ending Sunday school, they sing merrily about the golden rule.
The record ends with a very interesting track, fun track with lots of loops and samples and stuff, and another guest vocalist appearance.
Yes, our daughter, Nearly Harper McDougall-Ladani.
I'm glad you said that, because I wasn't going to be able to just by reading it.
That's her full name, yeah, Nearly being her first name. I was working on that track, like a pop star, I think you're
yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Another, it's kind of a fun song that I threw on. I wasn't initially going to throw it on the album, and it was just, it's kind of, you know, it's a strange song, weirdness and so forth. And she was in this my studio playing around, and we were having fun. She was recording. I was recording her voice, and she'd, I don't forget completely how it happened, but I was working on that song. I was editing at the point, and she was doing. And so she's a little bit. And then she tracked that. I guess tracked it about what 3 years ago now. So when we play it, when she hears it, at the time it was really funky. It was really cool. It was like awesome. And one of Dad's tracks, and I thought it was awesome too. Now she's a little bit like. I would have loved to retrack that. And it's kind of like, you're sounding like everybody I've worked with.
Everybody wants to remake
their
own
albums. Like, I could have done that better. But, you know, she's 3 years younger, and she's only 11 years old. So from an 8-year-old to 11-year-old, there's a big difference in voice. Yeah. And obviously I can't change it. It's pressed. So she's always wanted to, and she's said, if I do it live ever, she wants me, if I'm going to sample it, I've got to resample her. So I promised I'd resample her voice, and she's got it all worked out, what she's going to redo. But it kind of threw in, because the whole thing is, it's kind of a tongue in cheek song, and it threw, and her, actually, her voice at the time, the timbre of her voice was perfect for the kind of element that I was kind of throwing out.
And absolutely.
It was kind of this young kind of voice that we needed for the track.
And I love you here and there. I love you everywhere around this town. Everywhere around this town. Yeah, yeah, I love this town. Every town, I love it.
Everybody in the map.
Give me a few records that that you just absolutely can't live without, whether they're old records that inspired you when you were young and just getting into music, or newer records that that are really turning you on now.
Oh, there's so many, you know, there's so many to mention. They're all over the place. Lately, I've been just listening to piles of vinyl, as Nicole can probably attest to it, stuffed to my studio. I've pulled out. Recently, I've been listening to diverse Shaker Loops, John Adams, Which was, I've listened to through the 90s. I came across John Adams, Shaker. It was a big thing. I loved that kind of orchestration. Where it started actually more modular in the septet, but it moved on. Like, and then I'll throw on, recently I've been listening to Lou Reed, New York, which is an amazing album. And I go back to that album over and over. Incredible poetic representation of the times then, and this is 90, that was 88, I think. And now it's even like, I was listening to it the other day, and I was like, it's like he made the record yesterday.
Yeah, you know? Right.
Yoko Ono, it goes on. The list I've listened to folk records, to yodeling records, to, you know, to everything.
You don't hear that every day. yodeling,
you know,
records.
Yeah, well, you know, our bluegrass, I grew up, you know, listening to everything that was around. I kind of just play it, and I usually like it.
Yeah, that's great. Well, thanks so much for taking the time.
My pleasure. It's wonderful. Thanks for having us here.
I hope you have a great launch and a great weekend here in Lancaster.
Looking forward to it.
Douglas September is a songwriter and multi-instrumentalist from Toronto, Ontario. Learn more about him online at douglasseptember.com or link up from our website, woodstovehouse.com, where you can also check out the show notes, listen to past episodes, subscribe to the show on iTunes, or make a donation to keep the show going. This episode was recorded at the Candy Factory, Lancaster's premier shared workspace. Learn more at candyissweet.com. Around the Wood Stove is a production of the Wood Stove House. Find us on the web at woodstovehouse.com.
Yeah.
Everybody said that.
Yeah. You get in line.